Thank you, Lord. There was a line in that song I just heard for the first time. Now, again, I've sung this song, you know, maybe close to 100 times, you know. There was a line in the song I heard for the first time. Only you can raise a life. Only you can raise a life. That's good news. That is good news. Because not only is He the only one that can raise a life, He's the only one that will raise your life. Wherever that looks like. Man, that's good stuff this morning. Well, this morning we begin, and I want to start with a question. Don't you wish that your life came with turn-by-turn directions? Wouldn't that just be so much easier? If we were able to just navigate through life with like this holy GPS. I'm one of those people that you'll hear me say GPS, and I won't say GPS system, right? Because what am I saying? Global positioning system. Or like ATM machine. Automatic teller machine, right? So I just want to tell you that as I begin, that you'll hear me say GPS in here, and I want to be clear that it's global. Anyway, so think about how nice it would be if you're about to buy that home, and this little voice says, "Turn here." Right? Wouldn't that be nice? Or you're about to choose the college, or you're trying to make plans for college, and all of a sudden you hear that voice, "Turn here." Right? And it just tells you which way to go. And then all of a sudden, you're about to propose to your girlfriend, and you hear the voice, "Recalculating." Whoa. Yeesh. But it would be nice if we had this global positioning system for our lives. And that, like, you know, the path of God would be leading us down would be so evident and clear, like turn by turn directions. You know, saying stop here, turn here, merge with this path, slow down. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be in a series called Thy Will Be Done. And it's obviously not by mistake that you see that the name of the series is My Will Be Done, and then it's kind of crossed out there with handwritten in Thy, right? Because I think we forget that it's supposed to be Thy Will Be Done, not My Will Be Done. So, and at first glance, we could look at this and say, oh, he's going to be covering Matthew 6, where Jesus taught us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we're going to go further than that. We're going to go deeper than that. How many times have you heard or said yourself, I'm just trying to discern God's will? Or I just want to know what God's will is. How many of you have said that at one point in your journey? Yeah, I like the hands that like thrust up. You know what I mean? Yeah, because some of us, we're there right now. And here's the thing, I'm not saying that we're there right now because this is a new part of the journey. Because many of us, we're in the journey. God's will for you never ends. It's always before you. So it's not like you reach one point in your journey and you go, man, I really know what God's will is. I mean, now granted, there are critical pieces and steps that you get to where that becomes evident. But our stories are never ending when it comes to seeking God's will and His desire for us. I'm real excited to teach this series, and it's actually going to be over the next 4 weeks that I'm going to be doing this. So I'm trying not to cram 4 weeks of messages into one. So I'm going to just keep going here. How many times have we used God's will to pray a prayer that's kind of even somewhat crazy at times? You know, God, if it's your will, then, you know, I'm going to turn the radio station and I want you to tell me, right, what I'm supposed to hear. And so all of a sudden we, you know, hit the button and it's like, some song comes on and you try to figure out, oh, maybe this is God's will, right? Maybe this is how He's leading me. Or my favorite is, how many times have we blamed God's will for breakups of relationships, right? Think back to junior high or even high school at camp. It's the last day. You've been dating for a whole 4 days. And then you have that conversation. And it's typically the girl. She walks up and she says, God told me that I'm supposed to break up with you. Right? Have you ever been there? Am I the only one? If that's true, how sad am I? You know, God told me I'm supposed to break up with you. You know, there was one time I actually looked at a girl and I said, you know what? God hasn't told me the same thing, so I guess you're stuck with me for a while. And she was like, you know, she didn't know what to do with that. She was kind of stunned a little bit. Well, what do I do with that? I know that many people desire to find God's will. Julie Andrews plays a potential nun, Fraulein Maria in the classic movie The Sound of Music, right? Many of us have seen this. At one point in the movie, we hear the head nun ask Maria, what have you learned here? To which Maria replies, to learn God's will and do it wholeheartedly. So even in that, her whole desire throughout that character that she plays, Fraulein Maria, was to find God's will and to do it wholeheartedly. Many people desire to find and to know God's will, but stop short because of exhaustion, because of frustration. This is a part where you get to say, yeah, Pastor, come on, preach. I've been there. I've been exhausted. I've been frustrated. You know, we wish it was as easy as the turn by turn, but instead we're met with sometimes it feels like a person saying, yeah, God's will, it's that needle in one of those haystacks over there. And you're standing in front of this field of haystacks and you're wondering, how in the world am I going to find this little needle? I know that you love God. I know that you have a strong desire to do God's will. And I know that some of you are like me. You're seeking God's will and have at times been frustrated in the search. We need to understand that the search is not the problem. The search for God's will is not the problem. It's not what's going wrong in the situation. It's not that God has abandoned us. It's not that He doesn't love us. And it's not that He's even holding out on us. I'm going to show you over the next couple of weeks, if you look at the story of Abraham, there's scripture after scripture that says, why would I withhold? Right? God says to Abram, why would I withhold this knowledge from you? He doesn't desire to keep us in the dark. But we have to understand it's a part of the process. It's a part of the journey. And He shares with us as much of His will as we are ready to handle. That's the key. It's something that gets shaped out day after day. As we follow harder after Him, His will becomes more and more evident to us. Let me say that again. As we follow harder and harder after Him, His will becomes more and more evident to us. If you really want to seek God's will, then you're not going to abandon the location to find it. That's a key. I believe that God did provide us a holy GPS for His will. And I'm going to show you what to do and I'm going to show you how to use it. One of the things that we lose sight of is that the fact that His will can only be found in His Word. Thanks, Pastor Tony. I'm glad you're here this morning. That one just kind of fell flat, I guess. But the truth is, we can only find His will. We only will find His will in His Word. You've got to bring the Word. You've got to have it with you. You've got to be in it every day. That's where He's going to speak to you. My dad used to go to AAA and he used to get triptychs for vacations. Right? Y'all remember triptychs? How many triptych fans do I have? Yeah? Okay. Some of them are like, wow, if I raise my hand, I'm admitting how old I am. Right? Good for you. Be proud. Something like that. So, he used to go into AAA and he used to get these triptychs. And we would never go on vacation without them. And you know, they were these... Sorry, let me explain to you guys over here. Triptychs were maps. Paper. Spiral binding on the top. And then you would flip them over, and then the next part of the map was there. You guys tracking? All right, good. I got them. We're all good. Teenagers are on board. They know what triptychs are. So we went to Florida one time from Philadelphia to Orlando, Florida. And my dad went and got a triptych. And I swear at one point in the trip, I sat on it to see over the dashboard. I mean, this thing was like this. It was huge. You know, but we never went anywhere without it. My dad was fearful that we would ever go on a trip without this triptych. And it's funny because We went one time to Florida in our 1985 Metallic Pete Ford family truckster. No joke. You got to see this thing. And I am not making this up. This is exactly the car that we had to go. I think it was like 6 days it took us to get to Florida. It was some astronomical number. And there are pictures of me in the back where you put the luggage. 3 years old, hanging out in the luggage. Right? The reason why we didn't have to wear seatbelts is because we were driving in things like this. If you got into an accident, the only thing that was damaged was this. Everybody else in the car was like, did you feel that? It feels like we may have just gotten into an accident. We didn't need airbags because they were metallic peat, you know? And this actually reminds me, and if you ever wonder what my family was like growing up, all you have to do is look at this next picture. My family was the Griswolds. My dad was the last family man. Like, he was the one that wanted to make our family vacations the best vacations we never had. I mean, ever had, right? So, it's kind of amazing. Even though life technically doesn't come with a triptych, we do have an incredible map to help us navigate through this life. So now I want you to do is turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Then I'm also going to ask you to turn to a secondary piece of scripture, and that's going to be, if you want to put your finger in Matthew 6, you can do that, but then Hebrews 10. So I know I gave you a couple things there. So we've got Romans 12, and then Matthew 6 and Hebrews 10. So to give you a little bit of background here, while you're turning to the page there, Paul's letter here in chapter 12, many scholars believe we've entered into the second part of his letter to the Romans, to the Christian Romans in Rome. So this is, we know this because if you look at chapter 11, verse 36, it ends with somewhat of a benediction. You see the word amen in there. And then in verse 1 of chapter 12, you start with the word therefore. So the reason why therefore is there is very strategic and it's very much on purpose. And you all remember the rule, right? The rule is if you see the word therefore in Scripture, you have to ask the question, what's it there for? Very good. You have to do that. So you can't really technically read chapter 12 until you go back and take a look at what Paul's referring to in chapters 1 through 11. So I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to save us a little bit of time, but I am going to jump ahead and look at verse 12 here. So in the first two verses in Romans 12, God gives us an ideal process that we often need to go through in order to know His will. And also that will for our lives. Before He reveals our mission, as you will see, there's a period of preparation. There's a moment to proclaim allegiance to Him. There's a time of training and strengthening. There's a time of engaging in the enemy. And there's also a time of renewal. And this all happens before you see His will. Then you see, look in verse 2, then, right? I've underlined it and bolded it here. Verse 2, then you will be able to test and approve. This word then is a key word for us this morning. It's the word that really is the linchpin of this whole thing called God's will. Just this tiny word right here, then. But you know what? Let's go ahead and go back and let's read the scripture. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers. Now, it also is, that's gender inclusive. That doesn't mean just men. It means men and women. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, do you see the key there? Do you see the break point? We get all of these instructions beforehand, and then Paul lays down the big word, then. Once you've done everything before this point, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the initial stages of this study, we see a couple of themes that pop out at us. Now these actually will serve as the themes for this series. Now also, if you're joining us on YouVersion, you can go onto the app on your smart device, YouVersion, do the live event. You can see, and I've got all this broken down. So that's something you can do now, or you can go back and look at it. It'll be up for the next week. So here we go. Number one, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's number one. If you want to know God's will, the first thing you have to do is offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We're going to talk about what that means. Number two, do not conform to the pattern of this world. You know, Paul's world was really not much different than our world today, tragically enough. He's talking about not conforming to these patterns, but being aware, being mindful that there are things that you need to be aware of and there's things that you need to avoid that the world is telling you is okay. Okay? Number three, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we have the big word. At this point, I hope you all are with me and you all know this word so we can all say it together. The big word is then. Then. Number four, you will be able to test and approve God's will. Now, how interesting is it? Think about this for a second. How interesting is it that Paul here is giving us a little bit of permission to do something? We get to test and approve God's will. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And you're going to want to come back in 4 weeks to find out why that's interesting. It's a little teaser. Just put that out there. So as we break these two verses down, we utilize the strength of his word to show this incredible triptych, a virtual roadmap, if you will. And it's my hope that each one of us will have a better understanding what God's will is for our lives. And it's not something that he's keeping a secret. And it's something that he really does desire to reveal to us. But again, prefacing only when we're ready. Here's a problem we face before we're ready to start reading the map to his will. We are the biggest obstacles that is standing between us and his will. We are the biggest obstacles in this. We have to get out of the way. In order for God's will to really be revealed, we have to step aside. We can't be the center of our will. If we become the center of our will, there's no room for God. Yes, God is a great big God and God does a lot of incredible things, but one thing he doesn't do is force himself on you. You have to get out of the way so that he can show you and reveal to you what his will is. So here's the problem that Paul points out, and he makes it very clear, is that there is a point in which we do have control over how much of God's will that we want to experience or not. When we look at this at the beginning of verse 1, Paul makes it clear to us that when he starts with the things that we have control over, our bodies, choosing not to conform. We make the choice. We can conform to the patterns of this world or we can choose not to conform. But it's our choice. So we have our bodies, the choice of conforming or not conforming, and being transformed. Because it says, be transformed by the renewing of whose mind? Our mind. It doesn't say be transformed by the renewing of God's mind. Or it doesn't say your mom and dad's mind. Be transformed by your sibling's mind or by your boss's mind. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You play a huge part in this. So think about this. When Christ came, he taught us how to pray. Now, if you go with me over to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read. And, you know, for obvious reasons, I love the King James Version of this. This is what I grew up on in Matthew 6, where Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on where? Earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We know this. We've memorized this. This is something that's a part of who we are when we become a Christian. We learn how to pray this. The problem is, there's another version to this. And it's the version that we write. So you can't turn here because this is in my version only, that this is the SIV. This is Steve's international version. Now hang with me here. I'm not going all crazy on you, sacrilegious. But this is the SIV. Our Father who may or may not be in heaven, hallowed, whatever that means, be your name. My kingdom come, my will be done here, as I guess it's already happening there, wherever that is. Give me what's mine, because let's just be honest, I deserve it. Right? I'll forgive people around me only when they ask first. And I'm all good on the temptation department. I can handle it because this is my kingdom. This is my power. This is my glory forever and ever. Amen. And everybody in the room backed up a couple paces, right? But the problem is, not that I'm rewriting scripture, I'm only putting out there what at times in our own lives we have dealt with. We've tried to make this about us. We've tried to say, my will be done, my power, my provision, my way, my kingdom. And the truth is, the scripture tells us very, very clearly how to pray. It's thy will be done, not my will be done. In order to truly understand and see God's will, the prayer needs to be thy will. You always have to remember that being willing always comes before the doing. The only way that you're going to be able to see God's will is you have to be willing. And then He provides the opportunity for you to do it. But it's never the opposite way around. He doesn't work on the, I'm going to give you this picture, and then I'm just going to anticipate that you're going to change. No, He anticipates the change first, and then He gives you the picture. That's good news. I want you to hear me say this. You will not find God's will in a Starbucks. You're not going to find it on TV. You're not going to find it written in the book by the latest author. You're not going to, even in conversations with friends, you will not find God's will. The only place that you will find God's will is in His Word. If you want to know where you're supposed to go, if you want to know what you're supposed to do, if you want to know what His will is, the desire He has for your life, and you're looking everywhere else but in His Word, you're going to be searching a long, long time. You're going to hear the little voice in the back of your head over and over saying, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. How many times do we get sick and tired of hearing the little lady say, recalculating, stop recalculating, just get me where I'm supposed to go, you know what I mean? But that's the same for your life. Some of you are so frustrated, you're so exhausted, you're so fed up, and you're like, I don't know what God has for me in this, but you refuse to read His Word and find what He does have for you. You keep hearing these stories of recalculating, recalculating. Because when you open up His Word, you hear a different message. The message becomes, turn here. Turn here. Slow down. Yield. Merge into this way. Oh, that's good news. Anybody else getting goosebumps right now? Am I the only one? Because I'm telling you, I want to unlock an incredible secret. I know it's not me. I can't do that. But through this series, which, by the way, God has just smack dab planted me on the forehead with it. And I've got a lot of forehead real estate now. I don't know if you see that. But it's so obvious that right now this is a series for Trinity. I mean, He's just brought it right down my street. And this was not on the books. I mean, this was not a part of the plan. But God said, this is where we're going. And I'm like, all right, here we go. So 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. Because when we look in His Word, this is where we find the truth. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. This is a great promise of why we read the scripture. Because all scripture is inspired by God and it's useful to teach us. Teach us everything that is true. And be able to point out the things in our life that, you know, I'm just going to kind of tell you, you need to change. That I need to change. It's tough. I read Scripture all the time and I hear God say, Steve, you're really terrible at this. And I'm like, this doesn't feel very good. But how will I know if I ever need to make a change if I don't listen to His voice? How will I ever hear His voice if I don't ever open His Word? How will I ever know His will if I'm not seeking out the place to find it? A lot of questions that people ask is, how did Jesus know what His will was? How did He find His will? And this is a great question. And the Hebrew writer points to a time in Jesus' ministry when He addresses a crowd. So this isn't in the Gospels. This is in Hebrews chapter 10, where we hear how Jesus at one point addresses a crowd of people when He's in the synagogue. So Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 8. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First, He said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then He said, here I am, I have come to do your will. So the Hebrew writer is telling us there's an order, there's a pattern here. Listen to this. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It's by that will that we were able to experience this gift of holiness. Because Jesus made the decision to say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. In fact, we go into Luke 22, verse 42, and we see that Jesus is in the garden. And he's anguishing over this decision. Now, this passage should give us incredible hope. Because Jesus did not go into the garden just willingly saying, oh, well, I guess, you know, I was born for this, so here we go. He went into the garden anguishing over God's will. He said, Lord, look at verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. He said, if there's any other way, Lord, I don't want to have to experience this. If there's any other way, please take this from me. Because Jesus himself was not comfortable with the idea of being beat up. He wasn't comfortable with the idea of having nails driven into his hands. He didn't revel in the idea of putting a crown of thorn on his head. He said, God, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But then you have to look at the second part of the verse. He says, yet not my will, but yours be done. Because even though Jesus struggled with it, he still said, but Lord, even though it's tough, even though I don't get it, even though I don't understand, even though this is going to be painful, it's not about me. It's about you, Lord. And he says, so Father, yet not my will, but yours be done. We have to get to the place of spiritual maturity where we stop thinking about what we want and start thinking about what he has for us. You know, we have to stop treating God's will kind of cafeteria style, right? Where we show up with our tray and we show up to all the buffet and we say, oh, I like this part of God's will. I'll put more of that on my plate. You know, but that part over there, I don't like that part of God's will. So I'm going to keep that off the plate. The thing about God's will is you don't get to determine what gets on the plate and what doesn't. What you get to determine is how much you're going to allow God to shape your story. How much are you going to allow him to show you the way? It's like this. One day a grandfather told his grandson, I'm leaving to run errands. Do you want me to come? You want to come with me so that we can spend some time together? To which the grandson says, well, where are you going? And the grandfather responds with, you know, if you wanted to spend time with me, it wouldn't make a difference where I was going. I wonder how many times our Heavenly Father has asked us to run errands with him just because he wants to spend time with us. And our first response is, well, where are we going? To which Jesus then looks at us and says, you know, if you really, truly want to spend time with me, it won't matter where we're going. Ephesians 6, 6 through 7. Talking about spiritual slavery to Christ. It says, obey them not only to win their favor, when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, do the will of God from your heart. Because ultimately this goes back to the heart. Are you willing to be transformed? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to do the things that are necessary in order to hear His voice in your life? Are you going to search Him out in the Scriptures? And if the question that you have following that is, but I don't know how, that's okay. That's okay. What I want you to do is I want you to seek out people that you know who can help you. Call the church office. Talk to me. Talk to one of the pastoral staff. Talk to an ABF leader. Talk to a friend that you know is diligently in the Word. Talk to people around you that you know have a prayer life and have a devotional life. If you don't know where to start, there are people that are around you that can help. So it's okay at this point if you say, but I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. That's okay. But you have to be willing to get the resources around you that can help you. But it says, verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. See, following God's will is not about following what you would want or even what you think people want around you, because it's not about them. It's about following God's will and doing it from your heart, serving wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. You know, our prayer this morning should be, if there's a road I should walk, help me find it. If I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, can you help me find it? Would you stand with me as we close? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder that You are in control. Lord, that You desire so much to be able to shape our stories and to be able to reveal to us Your will. But Lord, we also know that we play a part in that. So Lord, I pray that as we embark on this territory of learning about Your will, and as we continue to get into Your Word and to search the Scriptures, Lord, may it be evident and clear that Your voice is so loud and so true and so strong when we find it in Your Scripture. So, Lord, guide our hearts this week. Lord, I pray for those that are in need this moment, Lord. I pray for our family members, Lord, that are in the hospital. I pray for those that can't be here due to sickness or illness. Lord, we lift them up to You, knowing that You are the God of their story too. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.